I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast, part of the 90 Min Football Network. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeon. And on this edition of the show, we're going to be discussing all the latest Arsenal-related transfer reports. We're going to be trying to make sense of a lot of them as well. So plenty to get into, as always. Big hello to everybody joining us in the live chat. Big hello to everybody who will be watching or listening to this back later on. And of course, if you are watching us on YouTube, be sure to drop a like on the video. If you're listening via the audio platforms, please do leave us a review. It is very, very much appreciated. Still no announcement yet regarding Oleksandr Zinchenko. And I've just got this horrible feeling that the minute I finish this podcast, or maybe midway through this podcast, we might actually get that announcement. And then I'm going to have to do another one. And so maybe I should have waited. I don't know. But there's so much other bits and pieces to talk about. There's so much other stuff that I wanted to get into that I thought it was worth dropping an episode anyway. Okay, let's get into it then. Let's start off with the big story, or probably the biggest story doing the rounds today. And that is that Arsenal have gone back in for Juventus midfielder Artur Melo. Remember, we talked a lot about this player during the January transfer window. He was heavily, heavily linked with a move to Arsenal, and that never materialized. There's contradictory reports going around about this at the moment. And I've got to say, at this stage, at this point, I would take these with a pinch of salt. I have to advise that, because I think that it's very, very easy to get sucked into rumors that often very much have no basis and, you know, are just simply inaccurate. And I'm not saying this is totally inaccurate, because we have heard that Arsenal have an interest in this player in the past. It's not a completely new thing. You know, Artur Melo being linked with Arsenal is something that makes sense, because we know that there was some interest in the past, at the very least, an interest. I don't know that it turned into anything more. I don't know that any dialogue actually took place between Arsenal and Juventus. And we don't know that any dialogue took place between the players' representatives and Arsenal either. But here is the download. So what are people saying? Well, a couple of Italian outlets have gone really, really big on this story today and say that Arsenal have gone as far as making contact with Juventus over the possibility of bringing Artur to the Emirates Stadium. One report says that Arsenal want a loan with an obligation to buy clause inserted, so that the Gunners can make sure that that deal is done permanently come the end of the season, which suggests that maybe Arsenal are looking to do something but defer the cost until later down the line, when perhaps they've had more opportunity to move players out of the door. There's another report coming out of Italy this afternoon that says Arsenal have made a cash plus Lucas Torreira offer to Juventus to try and persuade them to allow Artur Melo to go. Now, let's be clear. Artur Melo is not somebody that's had a great time at Juventus, okay? He joined the club with huge, huge expectations, and it just hasn't really worked for him. I think if you speak to anybody who follows Juventus closely, anybody who follows Italian football closely, they would have probably told you that the fact that Max Allegri has come in at Juventus, obviously last season, has even more so damaged Artur Melo's prospects and chances of establishing himself as a regular in their starting 11. Why? Because he's just not a Max Allegri player. He's not that type of player at all. And he's not somebody that Max Allegri is believed to be, very, very fond of. So there is a truth in the notion that he probably isn't going to stay at Juventus for much longer, and that he as a player, as an individual, would probably prefer to move on. And I'm sure there's truth in the idea that Juventus would be quite happy to offload him as well. But they paid a lot of money for Artur, and so they'll want to recuperate as much of that as they possibly can. And this is not a deal that's going to be done on the cheap. This is not a deal that you're going to be able to get over the line, for very little outlay. What it is, though, is a deal that you could probably do if you do what this report or one of these reports is suggesting, which is give them some sort of guarantee, give them some sort of commitment, only delaying making that financial exchange. Juventus do this to a lot of clubs. Juventus go around the Serie A handpicking who they want. Juventus go around the Serie A very often taking players on loan with the idea of paying for them later. And it would be kind of doing this to Juventus in almost giving them a taste of their own medicine if Arsenal were to take this forward and approach it in this way. But Fabrizio Romano says something very, very different about this. And this is why I urged you at the very beginning of the show to make sure that you take this particular story with a rather larger pinch of salt than some of the others that we're going to talk about, because all the reports coming out of Italy, you know, need to be, approached with caution. You know, we very, very often get reports from Italy that have no substance whatsoever. And we know that there are certain newspapers, certain publications that are very, very close and are very in with certain clubs. You would say that that's something that's a little bit different in Italy, where, you know, you have, for example, the city papers. I mean, for example, let's say the London Evening Standard, right? They would write something negative about Arsenal. They would be anti-Arsenal. They would be anti-Chelsea, anti-Spurs, etc., etc. But what you find in Italy very, very often is you find that the regional publications, the regional newspapers, the regional outlets are normally very, very complimentary of the teams that they cover and of the teams within that vicinity, because they are looking to maintain relationships, to get lines, etc., etc., from the football club. So I know that goes on everywhere. I know you get that kind of PR thing everywhere, where certain outlets, certain publications will take a certain stance on a club in order to kind of try and benefit from that in some way, shape or form. But I think when you get reports out of Italy, you know, very, very often you have to really study them with a fine tooth comb. And, you know, more often than not, if your gut's telling you that it doesn't make sense, it probably doesn't, and it probably isn't true. But what's really interesting is that whilst a number of outlets are saying that Arsenal are very interested in the player, as I've said, one suggests that Arsenal are looking for a loan with an obligation to buy the player at the end of the season. Another outlet has suggested that Arsenal will be willing to offer Lucas Torreira plus cash for the player. Fabrizio Romano has come out and said, actually, at the moment, there's nothing in this. Arsenal have not made any contact with Juventus. Arsenal have not offered Juventus any sort of deal. And so talk of Arthur potentially being on his way to Arsenal at this moment in time feels very, very premature. And this is actually a signing that the more I think about, the more I'm against. I talked about him, you know, in January when we covered the story then, when it was really sort of gathering pace, gathering wind, etc., etc. I said that I wasn't sure that he would be a good fit for the Premier League. I think technically there are no questions about his talent. I think from that perspective, we can all agree that he's a very, very useful player. But physically, will he be up to the challenge of the Premier League? I'm not so sure. Defensively, will he give Arsenal what they need? I'm not so sure. And given that Arsenal clearly want to play a very aggressive, pressing game, is Arthur the right fit? I would argue he probably isn't. So I'm not really big on this one. I'm not really keen on this one. And as I say, we probably need to, take this with a large pinch of salt because of the contradictory nature of the multiple reports that are coming out of Italy linking the Brazilian midfielder with a move to Arsenal. Kind of feels like a rumour of convenience as well, right? We know that Juve want to move him on. We know that Arsenal looked at him in January. We know that he's Brazilian, which obviously kind of adds fuel to that speculation around Arsenal, because there seems to be almost a tendency to lean towards Brazilian players at the moment, obviously because of the man at the helm of things, you know, because Edu has those connections and knows a lot of those players personally. It feels a bit like a rumour of convenience, this one, more than anything else. You know, this is one of those where I'll always support any player that comes to Arsenal and wears the Arsenal shirt. And you'll never catch me at Emirates Stadium giving one of our own players grief in a game or anything like that. But if Arsenal were to move and make this happen, if Arsenal were to bring Arthur to Arsenal this summer, he'd be starting off on the wrong foot for me, in the sense that he is one that needs to convince me. Like, and I mean really convince me. You know, he's not somebody that if I'm at 50-50, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt, because I've not been impressed with what I've seen of him since he's joined Juve. I know a lot of that is not solely down to him. I think he's been unlucky in that the managers have changed, in that the systems have changed, in that the approach has changed. And all of a sudden, Artur, who may have been a hit under another manager, is finding it difficult to impress and difficult to make his mark under Max Allegri. So that's where I am on this one. But yeah, take it with a pinch of salt. Arsenal to move for Artur. That's what Italy, a load of Italian outlets are telling us. Whether that is the truth or not, I guess time will tell. Let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about Nicolas Pepe, who is being heavily linked with a move away from Arsenal this summer. It's understood that the Ivorian would quite like a move away. He obviously wants to play more regularly. He's obviously suffered from a dip in confidence since joining Arsenal Football Club. You know, he came in on this huge money deal. The expectation levels were probably a little bit too high, and that price tag has weighed very, very heavily on his shoulders, you have to say, throughout his Arsenal tenure so far. Nicolas Pepe is being linked with a move away, and Leicester City were linked with a move for him just around about a week ago. But now another Premier League club are being credited with having an interest in the Ivorian, and that is Newcastle United. Again, take it with a pinch of salt. Why? Because Newcastle get linked with everybody. Why? Because they're stinking rich. Ever since Newcastle were taken over by the Saudi-backed consortium, they have been linked with what feels like a million and one players. And again, it feels to me like a bit of a rumor of convenience. So I know we're building a show around these stories, and you know, you might be thinking, well, what's the point in talking about them if you don't think they're serious? But I do want to keep you up to date with what is being said, what is being written, what is being reported with regards to our club. But I am going to chime in with my opinion with regards to how realistic some of these deals feel. So, yeah, I mean, Nicolas Pepe to Newcastle, I think actually that would be a really good fit for him. But do I have any reason to believe that Newcastle's interest is serious at this stage, or that Newcastle are going to follow that up by making a bid, or are going to follow this rumour up by actually moving for the player? So I think he'd be a good fit there. And I think he'd be a good fit there because of a number of reasons. So Newcastle's an incredibly passionate football club with an incredibly passionate fan base who live to watch flair, who live off of that excitement and love a marauding winger. And Nicolas Pepe could be all of those things. He's tricky. He can score goals. He can create goals. When he is at full flow, Nicolas Pepe is a brilliant player. He was never a £72 million player. I think we can all agree on that. But Nicolas Pepe is proven, even during his Arsenal career, where you'd largely say it's been disappointing, maybe underwhelming is a better word, he has shown that he can score goals. He has shown that he can impact games. And I think at Newcastle United, under a manager like Eddie Howe, he'd be given that freedom to go out on the pitch and express himself in the way that Alan Saint-Maximin is. I think at Arsenal, things are a bit different. I think Mikel Arteta is very specific in what he demands from each role. And obviously, he has Bukayo Saka in front of him, arguably Arsenal's best player last season, arguably someone who Arsenal really want to build around and who Arsenal will feel is their most important player at this moment in time. So, you know, his pathway here is blocked. You know, it's clear that Pepe, despite what some of us as fans think, prefers to play from the right-hand side where he can cut in onto that left foot. And I just think that maybe somewhere like Newcastle, where there is a real appreciation for flair, I'm not saying there isn't one at Arsenal, but certainly the managers look at things very differently. I think Eddie Howe is very big on kind of giving people that bit of freedom and that trust to go out there and express themselves. Whereas Mikel Arteta, I think, is much more regimented. I think he's much more, as I said before, specific in what he demands from each role. And I just think it's not the right environment in which Nicolas Pepe can flourish. I think the Newcastle fans would instantly give him the love that he needs. And we saw it with Joe Willock. You know, he went there, and if you get off the ground running at Newcastle, they will love you, they will adore you, and they will make it a really pleasant place to be. I actually quite like to see this move happen. because I think it'd be good for Nicolas Pepe. It'd be good for Newcastle as well, I think, if they can tap into what Nicolas Pepe has to offer. And I believe Eddie Howe probably could. Then Newcastle United would have one hell of a player on their hands. And listen, he's not going to go for anything anywhere close to the £72 million for which he joined Arsenal. I think if somebody came in with a £15, £20 million offer, Arsenal would have to seriously consider that. Now, I know that sounds crazy when, again, you refer back to what we paid for the player. And I know that Fabrizio Romano and a number of others have been talking in the last couple of days about how Arsenal recognise they need to move players on. Arsenal know that they've got to clear the decks a little bit more. Arsenal know that they're going to be doing that between now and the end of the window. But they want to put an end to having this reputation of being a real soft touch in the transfer market. And Arsenal are desperate to stick to their guns, stand their ground and get what they believe to be fair prices for the players that they're looking to move on. And, you know, we're talking about Nicolas Pepe right now, but that goes for Lucas Torreira, who is, you know, apparently going to be allowed to leave if an offer of around about 10 million euros comes in. It's the case with Hector Bellerin, who has had offers from Italy, not from Spain yet, which is where he prefers. And obviously Real Betis is his number one choice, but they're yet to cough up the money. And so, you know, Arsenal are standing their ground. The same can be said with Bern Leno, who wants that move to Fulham, we understand, but that is being held up at the moment by Fulham's unwillingness to match Arsenal's demands and the Gunners unwilling to compromise in any way, shape or form. So, you know, Arsenal are trying to do things properly. I feel like with a lot of these players, we're just going to have to swallow those losses and let them go and accept that this is a bit more of that hangover that has been, you know, so evident over the last few years. So yeah, you know, we're going to have to wait and see, but Arsenal trying to dig their heels in, trying to stand their ground and trying to make sure that they don't get bullied or you know, pushed into accepting lower valuations for some of their players. So is Nicolas Pepe on his way to Newcastle? Well, I don't think we can say that. There is rumours, there are links. But of course, as I said to you guys, it is just paper talk at the moment. And we're yet to hear of anything really concrete from Newcastle. But I think he'd be a great fit for them. I think they'd be a great fit for him. I think it's a move that would really make sense if it could happen. I'm seeing some of you in the chat referring to some news that is going around on Twitter at the moment, and that is with regards to Arsenal super fan, and that's exactly what she is, Maria Petri, who many of you will know who she is. There is a rumor going around on social media that she has passed away, which is obviously incredibly sad news. You know, I well up when I think about it, because this is a woman who was so devoted, addicted and in love with our football club and embodied everything that's special about it. You know, a real, I don't know what to say, you know, a real idol for people, you know, growing up and looking at what Arsenal fandom should look like. So, you know, I hope the news isn't true, but the more it's going around and the more people are saying it, the more you feel that it probably is, which is really, really sad. And I expect the club to obviously make sure that that is the case. And I say that because I'm just wary. You know, we've seen rumours like that go around about other people when they weren't true, you know, and so, yeah, you got to check. But if it is indeed true, obviously, we send our condolences to Maria's family, friends, anybody that knew her, to the Arsenal fan base who adored her. And hopefully the club will pay some sort of tribute, because I don't think there's a more dedicated Arsenal fan in the world. And, you know, I met Maria on a few occasions, not just that men's games at Emirates Stadium, but at women's games at Boreham Wood, at under 23s games, anything she could get to support the team, she was there. So rest in peace, Maria. And thoughts are obviously with her family and friends. And I'm sure we'll get some confirmation on this news, really sad news coming out of the Arsenal world this afternoon. Okay, let's talk a little bit about some other bits and pieces. Let's talk about Thomas Lemar, who Arsenal was said to have been offered the opportunity to sign this summer. Who remembers that summer when we were supposedly made a £100 million offer or whatever it was to sign Thomas Lemar? Well, it seems now that Atletico, just a few seasons on, can't wait to get rid of him. And in fact, so much so that they're going round and trying to push Thomas Lemar onto potential buyers, which is crazy. That one made me chuckle because, you know, it's one of those where at the time it felt like we had to do it and it was a complete disaster in the eyes of many Arsenal fans that we didn't. But I do think looking at how his career has gone since then, it might have been another Nicolas Pepe moment. And we may well have found ourselves in a very similar position to the one that we did, having signed Nicolas Pepe and very quickly realizing that he was not, he was not a £72 million player. Just before I continue, because I said that I wanted to kind of make sure that the news was true before kind of, well, we did talk about it and I did sort of pay tribute to Maria, but the Arsenal Women's Supporters Club have now posted about Maria, which you can see here on your screens. They say, "Our Maria, we will miss you." Broken heart emoji. "One of our own. We are the Arsenal proud to support." So it seems as though that sad news is true. Horrible news. Horrible news. And again, we send our condolences and thoughts to Maria's friends and family. What a special, special lady and a big, big loss to the Arsenal world. On a more positive note, we are going to be announcing the winners of our shirt giveaways on Sunday's episode. We've been running this competition for a little while now. We've been telling you guys how you can get involved. The competition is now closed. There's too many names, so please don't add any more. That is that. But we're going to be giving away 3 Arsenal home shirts for the new season. And on Sunday, I'll be revealing the 3 winners. And then once I do that, if you guys could get in touch with me with your names, addresses, and details, I will get those out to you within the next couple of weeks. So make sure if you have entered the competition, you tune in to Sunday's episode where we will be announcing the winners live. Okay, a couple of other bits and pieces I just wanted to touch on before I let you guys go. Atalanta, according to various reports, again from Italy, are pushing hard to secure the signing of Nuno Tavares on loan for the season. We've talked a lot about Nuno Tavares and how he might benefit from a loan, but it's got to be if it suits Arsenal. It's got to be if Arsenal can backfill and cover that position in another way. And you feel like the imminent arrival of Oleksandr Zinchenko is going to facilitate that even more and allow that to be more of a possibility. Perhaps that's how Atalanta see it too, and hence why they've decided to push for it now. But I've said this before, I am massively in favour of Nuno Tavares going to Atalanta of all places. I think he'll learn his trade there. I think he'll get to play as a wing back, which will allow him to really focus on what he's good at. And obviously play with that much more sturdy defensive structure behind him. I think it will help build his confidence up. And as I always say to you guys, if you want to go and brush up on your game tactically, if you want to go and learn the art of defending and understand positioning and tactical kind of play a little bit deeper, then I don't think there's a better place in the world than Atalanta and under Giampiero Gasperini. I say better place in the world, I meant to say Italy. Atalanta is probably one of the clubs, though, that suits Tavares more than anybody else. Okay. What else we got? Fabrizio Romano has been talking on a podcast today, and he has been discussing Arsenal's mystery wide target. Now, he mentioned a few weeks ago that Arsenal were looking to bring in a winger still, and he mentioned that the player they're after is a bit of a mystery, even to Fabrizio Romano, who seemingly knows everything when it comes to transfers. He said this: I'd love to tell you who it is, but at the moment, everything is under the radar. I'll try to find out and tell you in the coming days. Basically, what he's saying there is, I don't have a Scooby who Arsenal are looking for. I don't have a Scooby who Arsenal are looking at, and therefore I can't give you any information. So I thought I'd just summarize that one for you. There you go. Arsenal are working very hard to do things quietly under the radar. Whether that, whether that is possible, you know, we don't always know. Sometimes things leak, and unfortunately that happens. But yeah, it looks as though Fabrizio Romano is at a loss as well to explain who exactly Arsenal are looking for. Okay, guys, look, we're going to take a few of your questions. That rounds up the stories for the day. Actually, I've almost missed one, and I've almost missed a really, really important one. This was because I added it to my notes afterwards and put it to the side. But according to Freddie Paxton, journalist on who tweeted this news earlier today, he says that William Saliba has already agreed to extend his Arsenal contract, despite reports coming out just a few days and weeks ago that actually William Saliba's mind still hadn't been made up. So that's encouraging news. Doesn't mean that it's going to be done straight away. Doesn't mean that we're going to get an announcement anytime soon. But to know that the discussions are positive and at least moving in the right direction gives you some encouragement that Arsenal can do this, can tie the player down. And Fabrizio Romano, I know I've mentioned him a lot today, followed that up by saying he doesn't know that the contract agreement is in place, but he does know that the talks have been moving positively and that the talks have been moving in the right direction. So, there we go. William Saliba, if he does sign a new contract, and we'll do a special episode on that if it happens. I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to curse it or anything like that. But it would silence a lot of people, wouldn't it? It really, really would. And I would love it. Kevin Keegan style, I would love it. Okay, let's get some of your questions from the live chat. Pop them in and I will pick up as many of those as I possibly can between now and the end of the show. We'll do around about 10, 15 minutes on your questions. Matt says, not Arsenal related. It's all right, Matt. Makes a nice change. What do you make of the De Jong to United saga? It's obvious he doesn't want to leave Barca. If the deal eventually happens, his announcement will look like a hostage video. I love that. Look, I've talked about this quite a bit with my colleague at 90 Min, Scott Saunders, who, you know, is a very well-informed Manchester United fan, journalist, etc., etc. You'd have seen him on the 90 Min Gas Tank regularly. He also hosts his own brilliant Manchester United podcast, if you're of that persuasion, called The Promised Land, which you can go and check out. And we've talked about this quite a bit. And, you know, I get the impression from Manchester United fans that they're still, I'm not going to say confident anymore, but hopeful that a deal will be done, that eventually there will be a breakthrough in this whole saga and that Erik ten Hag will get his man. I personally think that if United don't get him after all of this, they look a little bit stupid and a little bit silly for almost allowing Barcelona and Frenkie de Jong to take them for this ride. You know, I think they're at a point now where they have to be looking at alternative targets because it just isn't moving. And we understand that that's partly because Frenkie de Jong isn't massively keen on joining Manchester United and leaving Barcelona, which, is a problem because it then means he's not pushing anywhere near as hard as he might be to get that deal done. We also understand that Barcelona owe Frenkie de Jong some money, and money that they apparently didn't have to pay him, but at the same time were bringing in 60 million euro signings just for fun and for shits and giggles. So it all seems a bit fishy to me. I mean, Barcelona, don't get me started on Barcelona at the moment. I think it's a disgrace what they're doing. I think it's, you know, it's crazy that they're able to do this. They're able to sell percentages of their television rights and various other things in order to raise crazy amounts of money to do business that just doesn't make sense for a club who clearly at the moment are very unsustainable in the way they're being run. Do they think that by strengthening the team, building things up again and getting themselves to a point where they're competitive and seen as one of the best in Europe again will help them get back to where they need to be financially too. I don't know. It seems like a massive bloody risk to take. But anyway, yeah, if I were United, I'd walk away from this now. I'd kind of give an ultimatum and I'd walk away from it because I think, you know, they could be caught with their pants down come the end of the window if they still haven't got this done and they've put all their eggs in Frenkie de Jong's basket, because it's clear to me that they really need, you know, they really need to improve in that midfield area. But great question, Matt, and a really interesting saga. Really Sarkar says, Harry, who would you have for cover at right back if Tomiyasu isn't fit for Palace away? I'd quite like to see Ben White play there with Saliba playing in the centre of defence alongside Gabriel. I think that would be my number one option, my preferred option, my preferred choice. But something tells me that Cedric might play and that William Saliba will be left out of that starting 11 on that day, given that, you know, it's going to be a bit of a baptism of fire. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But yeah, it's not looking likely that Tomiyasu is going to be available, which is bloody disappointing because he spent such a long period of time at the back end of last season out injured with this injury that we kept getting told was not actually serious, yet constantly kept him out. And it's starting to become a worry. And it's starting to become a concern. And again, here we are, pre-season, Tomiyasu not fit enough to take part in any of the games. And we're going into another season where we're going to have problems at fullback before we've even started. So yeah, it's irritating and a bit disappointing. A couple of you asking a very, very similar question, so I won't go over that again, but I think I've managed to, answer that. Adair Melgar says, how would you rank our summer transfer moves compared to our top 10 competitors? I think we've got to stop doing this. I think we've got to stop comparing our business to other people's business and saying, you know, I hate this thing of so-and-so won the transfer window. I mean, how do you win a transfer window? I think different clubs have different needs and therefore you can't always make those direct comparisons and those direct judgments. For example, Liverpool, you know, they've gone and got Darwin Nunez in. And, you know, that one signing alone might be what they need to maintain the incredible level that they've shown over the last few years. Obviously lost Sadio Mane, but they brought Luis Diaz in last January, which was a great signing, it seems. You know, the point I'm trying to make is that there are some teams that need one, there are some teams that need seven, some teams that need eight. I prefer to focus on whether we have ticked the boxes that I think needed ticking. And I would say bar one, up until now, we've probably done that. I still want something else in the midfield. As I spoke about yesterday, I feel like the drop-off between Xhaka, Partey and Odegaard in terms of quality to Lokonga, Elneny and, you know, Maitland-Niles, for example, is just too dramatic. So I still think we need a midfielder. I'd like another fullback as well, if Zinchenko is very much seen as a midfielder. But, you know, we can't be greedy here. So, yeah, I would say that we've had a strong window so far, and that's what's important. Let's take a couple more. Alex says, should Arsenal prioritise someone who can provide an aerial threat in our forward line? I think that's probably the next phase. I think that's what you'd, you know, once you nail down plan A, then you start to look at plan B. But I don't think Arsenal have nailed down plan A just yet. You'd hope that Gabriel Jesus takes us a long way towards that particular objective if he can come in and hit the ground running. You know, but yeah, I think work on plan A. And then, yeah, that's something that we'd like in an ideal world, but we've got to make plan A work before we can turn to focusing on plan B. I think there's always a danger of trying to overcomplicate things to the point where you then just end up getting very little right. Lynn Simpson says, I can remember Arteta said that when he didn't get Rafinha, he would hijack Antony. So I feel this could be the winger. I don't remember him saying that. Did he say anything? I don't think Mikel Arteta would have been that upfront about another team's player, would he? As for Antony, Antony is someone that Manchester United are targeting. But even for them at the moment, the price that Ajax are asking is just crazy. And it's not likely that Arsenal, having walked away from Rafinha, who ended up making a move for probably a similar fee to what Ajax would sell Antony for, are going to go in there and do that for him. That's just obviously my opinion on that. Jid says, if Arsenal didn't get a backup right-sided forward, who would you rather have as backup, Reece Nelson or Pepe? This is interesting because I think that in the event that we didn't have, in the event that Bukayo Saka was injured, I wouldn't be surprised if Mikel Arteta said to Gabriel Jesus, you go out on the right and I'm going to play Nketiah through the middle. I wouldn't be surprised if he did that. I'm not saying he will. I'm not saying he should, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was the go-to for Mikel Arteta in the absence of Bukayo Saka. But if you're asking me to pick out of Reece Nelson and Nicolas Pepe, which I think you are, then I'm going to lean towards Nicolas Pepe. I still don't think that Reece Nelson has shown enough to say that he's at that level. I think it's time for him to leave Arsenal now. I think he needs to go off and spread his wings and continue to work on his own game and work on his own career. He had a decent loan spell at Feyenoord, during which he earned some plaudits over in the Netherlands. And I think he's got to use that as a springboard now to go and find himself regular football. I don't see him getting it at Arsenal. And so for me, it's Nicolas Pepe. But with both of their futures uncertain, there's a chance that neither of them will be here come the end of the window. Adar says, thanks for taking my question. Cheers. Pint on me if you ever make it to Brooklyn. I'll hold you to that, mate, because I do want to come over to the States at some point, hopefully in the not too distant future. Let's see what else we've got. Let's take this one from Mike. Mike with a very, very kind Super Chat donation. Thank you so much. While I'm on the subject of Super Chats, actually, before I forget, because we're quite a way into the stream and I have forgotten. If you haven't done so already, please do leave a like on the video. There's over 500 of you with me live right now on this Friday evening, but we've only got 118 likes on the board. Let's try and get it up to 250. It should be so, so easy, given how many of you are with me. Like, subscribe to the channel if you are new. It is very, very much appreciated. And yeah, if you're listening on audio, leave us a review. Mike says, what is the minimum requirement for this season? For me, this is simple. Given what Arsenal have spent, given the backing that Mikel Arteta has had from this football club, he needs to get Arsenal back in the Champions League. Whatever way, you know, whatever way that comes about, fine. You know, if that means that we, you know, if we miss out on the top four in the league, but we win the Europa League, he'd have achieved that objective and achieved that goal. That is the very minimum expectation. But having said that, if he wins the Europa League and Arsenal finish 10th, that is not good. That's not progress. That's not, you know, yes, we'd have won a trophy and you can look at that in isolation as a wonderful achievement and success. But my big thing with Arteta has been, I'm going to give you the patience. I'm going to give you the time without getting on your back. And I'm going to, you know, trust in what you say because you talk a bloody good game. But now, you've got to be delivering. You know, you've had 2.5 seasons at the football club. You're going into your third full season in charge. It is what it is. We need to see that progress now and we need to see it happen straight away. Did I get that right? He obviously came in, won the FA Cup, finished 8th. Then he had the next season where he finished 8th. So that was the first full season. Last season, he finished 5th. That was the second full season. Yeah. So this is the third season. I had to double check myself there. That's how you know it's Friday afternoon. Right. Let's take a few more of your questions before we move on. Angel Hernandez says, hey, Harry, just tuned in. Should we change to a double pivot when Partey isn't fit? Or can Elneny be the only holding DM? I would rather Xhaka was the holding DM. I would rather Zinchenko played as the holding DM than Elneny alone. I think that we kind of panicked at the back end of last season, and probably rightly so. You know, I mean, I don't know that I'd have had the balls to say, Mohamed Elneny, you're the sole defensive midfielder in this side. So I understand why Mikel did it. But, you know, we started to find a much more effective way of playing. We started to be much more aggressive in our press, and we started to cause teams all sorts of problems. And then the injury to Partey made us revert to that double defensive midfield pivot from fear of none of the available options being able to handle that role in the way Thomas Partey does. Now, they're not going to do it to the same level as Thomas Partey. We know that. He's an outstanding player, with the caveat of when he's fit. But I don't know. I think that it goes back to what I was saying a little bit earlier. I want to see plan A stuck to as much as possible. And once that is good and smooth and clean and works, then you can start to look at alternatives. And I think there's been, maybe because of a lack of trust in some of his alternative options, but there's been a little bit of a, what's the word I'm looking for here? I feel like Mikel Arteta has been a little bit knee-jerk at times in changing things up because of that worry and concern about players and that lack of trust in some of the players. And then that's ultimately just made things worse at times. But let's see. Going to pick up one. You know what? I'm going to pick up two more because... Richard Barker, one of our members, with a really interesting question. He says, all right, Harry and chat, late to the stream. Not sure if this has been talked about. It hasn't. But he says, surely Wijnaldum should be on the radar. Now, it looks like Genie Wijnaldum, the former Liverpool and Newcastle man, is leaving Paris Saint-Germain. And a number of clubs have already expressed an interest in him. One of them being AS Roma, Jose Mourinho's side, of course, said to be very, very interested in the player. Should he be on Arsenal's radar? Well, in isolation, as a player, as an individual, I'd say yes, because he's proven that he can do it in the Premier League. He didn't have a great season last season. We all know that. We all know the story. Does that take away or almost erase all the great things he did over the last 4 or 5 years prior to that in the Premier League? Absolutely not. So I still think he'd be a good option. But, you know, it's not that I wouldn't take him. It's not that I don't rate him. I just think that when I look at what Arsenal are doing in the market right now, when I look at the approach that they've decided to take, when I look at the strategy that, you know, is being implemented, I find it really hard to believe that they would go out and bring in someone like Genie Wijnaldum at this stage in his career and pay him what will undoubtedly be a really, really hefty salary. I think they went for that 21 to 23 bracket last summer. That's what they were looking at. The majority of the signings fell into that category. And I beg your pardon, I've got something in my eye. I don't know what it is. Yeah, so they were looking at that 21 to 23 category in terms of the player's age. And now they're looking at players 25, 26 years old to try and take things to that next level and to try and add some more experience. But they're still not looking at 30, 31, 32, if that makes sense. So I think it would do damage to the wage structure, which is one reason that Arsenal probably won't consider it. And I think that it falls outside of the remit that the Gunners have set with regards to the way they're going to operate in the transfer market. So no, I don't think it's a possibility. Doesn't mean it shouldn't be though. You know, I think it's, sorry, this made me laugh. I said, I got something in my eye. I don't know what it is, Stephen, with a nice one there. It's your eyeball, Harry. I think that's still there as well. Yeah, look, I can't even remember what I was saying now. I was talking about Wijnaldum, when I just don't think it's one of those things that that we will look to do. Not because I wouldn't do it. Not because I think it'd be a bad idea, but I just don't think it fits, as I say, in with the plan, in with the strategy, in with the structure, in with the ideology that is being implemented at the moment. Okay, guys, I am going to leave it there, but I'm going to take this one from Marcus first because he's put it in a couple of times. Hey, Harry, out of the plethora of midfielders we are linked with, who would you go for? Which one is your top priority, at least realistically? I think that Youri Tielemans is the one I'd just go and get. I think it represents the best value. I think he's someone that could add a lot to the team. And I think it's less of a risk than some of the others that are being talked about because of a number of factors. Because I know that he's a top player, because I know that he can do it in this division, because I know that he wants to move to Arsenal. I think he ticks a lot of boxes for me. And at 25 million, even if it's 30 million, it feels like a no-brainer. So he would be the midfielder that I would be trying to get in between now and the end of the window. I know a lot of people will say, oh my God, you know, what happens though if Thomas Partey gets injured? As I've said to you before, to us, that feels like a major problem. But I think Mikel Arteta will feel that if he did get Tielemans in as well, that he'd have the options in midfield. And potentially Ben White could even be that option. You know, we talked about him when he came in as being someone who can play in the defensive midfield role. Not saying again that that's what Mikel Arteta is definitely going to do, but it's just an option, isn't it? So I think that Mikel will feel that he can cover that eventuality and possibility if it were to occur. Leandro Goodwin says, my 100th show and yet to have a comment, Red Man. Jeez. Well, there you go, my friend. There you go. Right, we're going to leave it there. I'll catch you all very, very soon with more Knowing My Luck. The minute I hit end broadcast, the Tielemans announcement will be made. Tielemans. Oh my God, I've got Tielemans on my mind. The Zinchenko announcement will be made because, of course, he's already said his goodbyes on social media to the Manchester City fans today. But yeah, we'll be back on when that announcement drops and we'll be talking through that announcement. Looking forward to it. Catch you all very, very soon. Until next time, goodbye.
I'm Martin Tyler and you're listening to Harry Simeon.